Ramsey TV.
I promised you that if I could, I would bring our fellow member of the Body of Christ, Matthew Michelson, back. And here he is. He's back for more. And there he is. Oh, we forgot to open the wine.
We did.
Well, would you go get that bottle for me while I warm up the audience, okay?
All right.
Just, I think I took the foil off, but you need to bring the corkscrew over here. We don't want to offend anyone in the Body of Christ, but we do want to offend every religious person we possibly can, because you have to remember this. Religious people, they're not really offended. They just want to... Oh, great. Ooh, those glasses look horrible. Who washed these?
I think I did.
Oh, my God. You're terrible. Religious people just want to trap you. They want you to be miserable just like they are. So... Oh, it sounded like a bottle of champagne instead of wine. All right, pour us some wine here. Today, we are going to talk about the Galatians. And we also like to boast of our freedom in Christ. Some people think that Jesus Christ turned water into... That's a generous pour.
Yes.
That's a very generous pour. Some people think Jesus Christ turned the water into grape juice. I find that highly improbable, seeing as how the wedding guests were getting drunk on it. Have you ever heard of anybody getting drunk over Welch's grape juice?
No. It takes a long time.
I think you poured yourself more than me.
Oh. Okay.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
You greedy bastard.
I'm a very indulgent person.
Okay. The Galatians. It was a special case.
Yeah.
Because Paul wanted to keep them pure, and he wanted to keep them in the grace of God. And nothing irritated Paul more than a foreign element coming into his evangel. And you were talking to us yesterday about your church history.
Yes.
And isn't it true that every time you feel your freedom in Christ, whatever institution you belong to, and I think other members of the Body of Christ will realize this too, when people sense that you're getting free, they panic because they're going to lose power over you.
Yep.
So it's not the fact that they want you to be morally pure. They really don't care. They just want to continue to have their influence over you. Am I making this up, or did you find this in the religious organizations that you were in?
Well, I mean, I didn't really find freedom until I had totally broken away from it myself. But, I mean, I know that that would have been the case, you know, for sure.
Yeah, and they're overly concerned about it. I think the main thing with the Pharisees was jealousy. I mean, we look at the Pharisees in Jesus' day, and they hated Christ, but why? Why did they hate them? I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I think the main reason was they were jealous that he was taking people away from them. They were losing converts. And I think that's the main fear of the organized religion. It's not so much that they actually care about your well-being.
Yeah.
They don't actually care about it. They care about it only as it touches their control. I'm so cynical. I mean, but that's what I find. And I think here in Galatians, misery loves company. And these circumcisionists, right, who came from Jerusalem,
yes,
they hated the idea from the get-go that these Greeks were hearing a message that liberated them from any ritual whatsoever.
That's right.
Baptism, circumcision, and so it's this subtle lie that, well, okay, you don't need the law to bring you into the truth, but if you really want to be complete, you have
extra,
to
extra
add the law.
Somehow.
Did they tell you that? Were you ever baptized?
Yeah.
Tell me. Because isn't it true that they tell you you need this to finish the work?
Yeah, I mean, I... In the Episcopal Church, I was baptized as a baby, you know, but, you know, then, you know, I felt like I had to do something, and I felt like I was still worried about that willpower and sincerity in myself when I did it, when I was being baptized, and I didn't really feel that when I did it, so I didn't even feel good about it then, you know.
When you went through the actual baptism, you didn't
feel? Yeah, I didn't feel any better or anything, but it was, it's this, you know, they have these expectations, and this is the proper Christian walk.
And they tell you're supposed to feel something. I mean, it's this whole thing, or are you sure you're saved? That's the problem with Christianity, right? Are you sure you're saved? And these ceremonies...
It's a constant question, you know? Would you? Yeah, that's what they'll say. Would you like to know? Would you like to be absolutely certain of where you're going to go when you when you die? You know, and that's their big line.
And then there's many things like when you were in the Pentecostal church, to be absolutely sure where you were going to go, you had to speak in tongues.
That was a big one too. Yeah, that was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that was essential to a good Christian spiritual life. That's how you'll find the gifts and the fruits and everything after that.
And then in other churches, it's water baptism.
Water baptism, yes.
And with the Galatians, it was law keeping. And mm-hmm. I think Christians are still there, don't you, as far as law keeping goes?
They have a completely different law that they've completely made up based on, you know, everything they think is important. And they just thrown it together in place of that to mix law and grace.
Yeah, and they use these ceremonies. I've taught here before that baptism was basically something that identified you with the person you were being baptized into. So the being baptized into John, there wasn't anything magic about the water.
Yeah.
It just associated you with John, and then baptized into Christ associates with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And these churches, religion, they desperately want people to be associated with them.
Yeah.
And they really do collect people. Like notches on a belt, don't they?
Yep. Yes, they do. Mm-hmm.
And a person who really is after the welfare of another person would want them to be free, right? It's like, I release you. Go off. You're free. Go off. If the Pharisees were spiritual people at all, and they see these people being healed of their afflictions and lame walking, and this guy, they're very happy. Mm-hmm. They're not getting fed in the wilderness. Go find happiness in the wilderness. No.
Yeah.
No. And that's the ugliness of jealousy, because jealousy claims to love, but it only loves as long as you stay in that circle. God forbid you should get your love outside of me. If I'm a jealous person, then I don't really love you if I'm offended by you going out and getting something else. So finding love is some other source other than me. True love says, I want you to be happy no matter what, even if it's without me.
Mm-hmm.
The Pharisees definitely didn't have that.
Yep.
So Paul is protecting the Galatians desperately. I mean, he doesn't want them to get mixed up with this. It's the purity of Christ. Now, going back to your experience, Matthew, in the church, it was all about this assurance. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah,
because I'm sure some of these Galatians were convinced.
Yeah,
that no, you're not really saved.
Yeah,
apart from this ceremony. So was that emphasized to you? Feelings about it?
You know what you hear a lot is, you know that, yeah, you were saved at this point, but you have to rededicate yourself to Christ, or
why did they tell you?
Because they would tell you that, you haven't been going to church, or you haven't been, you know.
There it is. See, you haven't gone to church. That is,
that's been the main thing
in there.
Yeah, you know, you've been watching too many R-rated movies or something. You know,
and not you. They weren't talking about you.
Well, you know,
no,
you know.
Yeah, I do know. It's all outward stuff. You're. How you feel about yourself.
Yeah. Now that I have faith in the gospel of Paul, you know, I deny all the baptisms I had, you know.
Good.
It's like Paul, I consider it all as loss.
Wow.
So.
Talk more about that. You consider everything you did before, everything you thought was so important.
Everything I did before, I mean, I was never very good at it, but you know, what I did do, you know, I don't consider important at all, you know. I mean,
but you know, tried hard.
Yeah, I did. I said the sinner's prayer hundreds of times.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did hundreds of times.
Did you try different variations of it?
Yeah.
Did you try putting the accent on different words?
I just felt like I was looking for something inside myself that felt like I was completely Christ, you know, and that
there it is.
It was something about my genuine willpower somehow was supposed to create that. And, you know, that was never a thing. It was all worthless. Only faith from God. Only faith from the Father.
What happened when your friends are in the church realized that you were going off and that you counted all that they held so near and dear as loss?
You know, I asked them about that, and I said, I just really don't feel like I'm doing things right. But, you know, they would try to say something, and then they'd forget about me. You know, they weren't really that concerned. You know,
it's that thing when you go into a church and for the first time they love bomb you, right? That's one of their techniques. They have a greeter at the door and they kiss you and hug you, welcome, and they pet you and give you a donut and give you coffee and give you a hug.
Yeah.
All in the hopes of getting you to their church. This speaks to the love thing again. But then if you never come back mm-hmm. and they see you on the street, the love bombing is over, man.
Yeah,
it is
exactly.
So over.
Exactly.
Which tells you that they only love you in relation to getting you into their system. And these circumcisionists wanted these Galatians as trophies.
Mm-hmm.
And they were jealous of Paul. The whole Jewish nation was jealous that Paul was gaining converts. In fact, he was taking some from the circumcisionists too. I mean, he was taking some of the Jews even.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Barnabas was a Jew, right? Timothy was a Jew.
Yep. The Israelites have the best of both worlds. They can be part of the nations, you know, and so.
Well, the Israelites. Or?
I'm saying that. You know, the Israelites can be part of the gospel of Paul, just as the gospel of the circumcision.
Oh, yeah. You know? In other words, they can jump ship.
They can jump ship and join. That's right.
And it all depends on if they hear and receive the message.
Yeah.
And I'm convinced Satan's number one tool is to get you to focus on yourself. And that's the whole thing with these ceremonies, whether it's circumcision or baptism or saying the sinner's prayer. It all comes back to getting you to doubt yourself. As I've said many times, Satan can't do anything to eliminate the cross because it happened and it was so complete, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he can get you involved in yourself and how you feel, whether you're doing enough, whether you went through the ceremony that your church.
And whether you're somebody that feels extremely confident in yourself with the baloney of saving yourself by willpower, or if you're somebody like me that just is so self-involved in the fact that he's doing terrible at it, that's all it is you become self-involved and you lose your connections with the world. You know, you lose the love.
But you were honest because you say, I was doing everything wrong. I couldn't even say the sinner's prayer right. I couldn't be baptized right. But the people who are really deluded are the ones who think that I'm doing it right.
Yeah.
I was baptized perfectly, correctly, in the right, the water was the right temperature, you know, and the sinner's prayer, I said it, everything in the right order. And so they have this false confidence.
Yeah.
As though they were perfecting this.
And they feel like their devotion's right on par and stuff.
Right on par. My devotion's right on par. Yeah. I'm shooting par with the devotion. So these circumcisionists that came in to the Galatians, they had to think that they were doing it right. Mm-hmm. They were doing the law correctly because these circumcisionists, these guys, I think they were believers in Jesus Christ, but they were still zealous for the law.
Right.
They had realized that Jesus is their Messiah, but they didn't quite go as far as to see that he's the completion of law, right? So they must have been thinking they were doing it correctly, but I love what you said, that you counted all that loss.
Absolutely.
Your experience mirrored the Apostle Paul's experience.
Mm-hmm.
How does that make you feel?
You're
just like the Apostle Paul, man. And you're just like the Apostle Paul in that you were wrecked. I'm putting you up to par with Paul in the fact that you were beautifully wrecked.
Amen.
Just like Paul was.
Amen.
No confidence.
Absolutely.
That's what it boils down to. No confidence in the flesh.
That's right. Christ Jesus is our confidence.
And Satan, again, to close here, but Satan would love nothing more than to get people their eyes off the cross, off the effectiveness of it, off the completion, and start focusing on yourself and the subtle lie that Paul was worried about and that you experienced in the church and anybody in organized religion. The subtle lie is, yes, Christ died for your sins, but, right? Yes, he died for your sins, but.
But.
Yes, and then the focus comes.
Now it's time to win one for the Savior. That's what they'll say. You know,
they actually use that phrase.
Yeah,
win one for the Savior.
Well, they don't say that exactly. But I'm just saying.
I'm actually disappointed that they did not say that exactly, because that would make me happy.
That's what you do. You look at the cross and you say it is finished with them. You know, I'm happy with what he did.
People look at the cross and they have the wrong reaction. They look at the cross, it inspires them. Like, I need to do something for that man.
Yeah.
That man did so much for me, now I need to repay him somehow, right?
Yeah, right.
Instead of realizing they're completely undone, they can't do anything. He did it all. You just lay down in a puddle of helplessness and say thank you.
That's right.
That's where the essence of our gospel is thanks.
That's right. Thanksgiving. Yeah.
I like what you said the other day. What were you saying? That whenever you pray now, it's all Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I mean, I know that I'm complete in Christ. And so, you know, why, what else do I need? You know, I have everything. I have everything in Christ Jesus. You know, he accomplished everything for me.
And I think you asked me the other day what my favorite verse was. And it was Colossians 2:10. You are complete. That's right. In Christ.
That's right.
Well, I'm happy to have Matthew here. He's leaving tomorrow, but I'm sure you all enjoyed fellowshipping with him. He loves talking to you. We couldn't wait to do this show today. So as he flies off back to Reno, Nevada, you're going to make some more shows for us?
Yes, I will. Yes.
All right.
I want to do one.
I'm not putting any pressure on you, but I'm going to be checking tomorrow for a show, okay?
I will.
No pressure.
All right.
All right. No pressure. Thank you. So I thank God for this man doing the shows, making shows and putting out the truth. I'm encouraging everyone out there who wants to. People are frustrated by organized religion. They don't know what to do. There's nobody to talk to. This microphone for me is an outlet. If I didn't have this show, I would go nuts. So it is a great way to vent. In the meantime, teach the truth. So I inspire anyone. I encourage anyone who, like Matthew, you don't have to be eloquent. I'm proof of that. You're proof of that. You don't have to be fancy. You don't have to have a fancy background. Look, I'm in my kitchen. It does help if you have a nice microphone. I have to insist on that, right?
Yeah.
You got to have a good microphone because you're speaking. People need to hear it. But go for it. Write a blog. Put it out there. Make a show and announce the evangel of the grace of God. Matthew, thanks for being here.
All right.
Stop back anytime.
Yep.
Boom.
Boom.